So did they get it right, Jeff Merrick?
Oh, going away. Going away, they got it right. Hands down. Hands down, they got it right. And I know it's something that Blackhawks fans don't want to hear and don't want to receive, but I'm sorry, there is still...
Before you go on, I'd like to make a debut here.
Oh, who's coming on the program?
Come here. Do you want to say hi, Viv?
Hey!
Here, just say hi. Just say hello, world.
Here. Hello, world.
Hey! Wow! That's fantastic.
Lovely and talented Vivian Wyshynski, who is now going to the puppy store.
Oh, very nice. She gets a puppy today, or she's going to visit some puppies?
No, she's going to go visit. There's a puppy store within a reasonable vicinity of our apartment here in the city, and she goes down there in a princess dress and walks around and plays with all the puppies.
So fantastic. Now, does she have a favorite kind of dog?
Ones that play
favorite
with her.
Flavor? Okay.
Smaller dogs that play with her is the answer.
Really, eh? My guys like big dogs. Like, there's one little dog at JK that's always yipping and barking around, and they have no time for it.
This is all part of the grooming and preparing to eventually get a dog. And we're just, because back in the day, she wasn't into puppies. Like, she didn't like dogs. But over time, I've been kind of like doing the fatherly equivalent of reprogramming her a la Malcolm McDowell and
the toothpicks propping and the lovely Beethoven and
so she's getting around to it, but yeah, she's
what kind of dog? What kind of dog?
I'm a fan of corgis.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a fan of Aussie. I want to say they're Australian sheep dogs or something like that. The little tiny scruffy looking guys.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's a few of them that are, I'm kind of in the little dog market too. As much as I would have loved like a golden lab.
Yeah.
I don't know if my life is suitable for a golden lab and this apartment is suitable for a golden lab.
Yeah. It's gotta be tough in New York. It really has to, as far as, cause I've always been a big dog guy and now we've got, you know, the property to really have big dogs. We had two German shepherds, as you know, before. They both passed away, and now we've got a husky. Yeah, dude, huskies are awesome. I had no idea huskies were this cool until we got Deacon, who's a rescue. But yeah, we are gonna go back to German shepherds one day, though.
It's not even the size of the dog. You're a fan of noble dogs. Like a husky's a noble dog. A German shepherd's a noble dog.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, huskies are noble dogs in the winter. Like right now, Deacon will go out on the back deck when the wind blows because we have like 15 to 20 centimeters of snow yesterday, and he's loving it. Like, all he does, yesterday he went out about 20 times in the backyard just to roll around in the snow. And he'll just go out on the back deck and just put his face in the wind. And that to him is the height of entertainment.
Majestic.
And I'm like, and you know, it's like his fur is all blowing. I'm like, oh, geez, looks like the promo shot from Titanic. But yeah, the Sheps really are the more nobler, I think, of the breeds, the ones
indeed
that I like anyway.
Back to the ledger. My daughter has caused a tangent here.
What's going on?
About Jonathan Toews being hit by Dennis Seidenberg, and you and I agree that they got it right. I think they got it right for a couple of specific reasons. I think you think they got it right just because you're one of these Neanderthalic violence mongers who, clearly think that all hits should be legal.
No, I just think it was a hard hockey play. Two guys going from the puck from different angles. One guy is stronger and has better position. The other guy got hurt. Hockey.
As I tried to explain on the post today when I wrote about this, I am fine with – why does the Department of Player Safety exist? Okay, does it exist to give comeuppance for any injury on any play? No, it exists – because there are players that play irresponsibly, and it exists because there are reprehensible players that need to be reeducated about the way they play the game if they want to play in this league. I mean, that's obviously been the mandate from the founding of this organization, this department of the league, by Brendan Shanahan, and I think it's continued under Stefan Quintal. When you look at the Seidenberg play, I mean, is it irresponsible? He's clearly trying to get the shoulder. So I wouldn't say it's irresponsible. I think he's trying to make a good hockey hit, and it just didn't work out that way. Is there malice? Well, how many times have we seen a player suspended for boarding or charging? And how many times during those suspensions, those suspension videos, do we see some reference to he saw his numbers or had ample time to hold up because the player's numbers were facing him? Mm-hmm. It's not the case on this hit. Like, there's nothing about this hit to me that would necessitate supplemental discipline.
No.
Other than a really famous player who's a really great player for a really popular team, got hurt. That's it.
Why is it that the moment we see someone hurt, all we can see is victim? That's how it gets framed. Like, this is sports where you're allowing people to do things to you that in the everyday normalcy of life, you wouldn't. People are going to get hurt. Jonathan Taves wasn't a victim last night.
Yeah.
Jonathan Taves got hurt in a hockey game. Okay. Yeah,
it's funny. I did two interviews this morning. I don't know why this is a subject right now in Canada, but I did two different CBC radio interviews this morning.
Okay.
On fighting. And that
fighting?
Very thing,
why today?
That, I have no idea.
Does Chris Stewart fight yesterday after his coach called him soft?
I have no idea.
Okay.
But that very thing came up about the inherent violence in the game. One of the first times I ever thought about it this way about fighting is that, you know, why do fights occur? Well, fights occur because even if no matter where you come up in the game, no matter what level it is, it's assumed that fights are a way to settle something. It's assumed that there will be the option for a fight in any situation. You're not brought up the same way in rugby. Rugby fights aren't a thing, right? So, like, if you're a rugby player and you're being administered the same physical, abuse that a hockey player gets during the course of a game, there is nothing in the back of your mind saying that fighting is the right recourse. And the first time I ever thought about it was when I was younger. I played baseball. Truth be told, your boy probably played more baseball than he put on a pair of hockey skates.
So did I, homie. High Park Little League. Come on.
You guys know that. And I was a pitcher, and one of the things that they tell you, even at the youngest levels, which thinking back is deplorable and almost inhumane, one of the things you're always told is if a guy is crowding the plate,
you throw at him.
Brush him back. And frequently that is a throw at the head to put the fear of God in him. Now, your normal walks of everyday life reference reminded me of this because at no point in life, in no way, shape, or form in life, are you ever throwing something at 95 miles an hour at somebody's head? Oh, I don't like the. Yeah. You know what? I could really use a little bit more elbow room here at the counter at Starbucks.
Yeah.
Zoom, pop.
Waiting for the bus. Hello, I'd like to stretch out my arms a little bit.
Right.
You wanna,
yeah. But in the context of that sport, it's complete. It's not endorsed, let's say, as much like fighting is not endorsed in hockey. But it is an arrow in your quiver. It is expected of you as a pitcher to be able to do that in certain situations. It's expected by you as a player to be able to administer some hits in certain situations, to fight in certain situations. It's just part of the game. And I do wonder, you know, with all of the re-education, with all the things that we know about with headshots and everything else, is it always going to be just part of the game? Will it, as we often say on the show, always just be an inherently violent game because that is the way it's taught, the way it will always be taught?
What's the best way to say this? As long as the game is allowed to be physical, then yes. But I can see, we've talked about the beginning of the end of board hitting again, and maybe that's an example of board hitting yet last night. If the game continues to soften, then that's the way it's just going to go.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as the game's allowed to be physical, then yeah, of course there's going to be injuries, and that was just one of them last night.
Mm.
Don't you think? Well, of course you do think. We're on the same page about this one. I don't know who I'm trying to convince here.
Well,
other than some Blackhawks fans that tweeted at me
that
saying, you can't be blaming Taves on this. It was mainly because when Claude Julien came out, his defense was a little bit goofy. But
well, his defense was wrong. I mean, his defense
should have been two guys went hard into the boards after the puck. One guy was stronger and had better position, and the other guy got hurt.
But
the
problem is that Claude Julien doesn't understand the new language in hockey, which is that when you say that a guy contributed to the hit, everyone assumes you're saying he turned his back on the hit. Everyone's assuming that you're victim blaming when you do that. He doesn't understand that. And the way he framed it last night in talking about Taves made it sound like that. It made it sound like Taves did more than just position his body the wrong way or stop in the wrong manner or whatever. It sounded like he was blaming Taves.
I don't
blame Blackhawks fans for getting pissed off about that.
I don't remember a shitty job talking about it. I don't remember anyone from the Boston Bruins organization defending Randy Jones's hit on Patrice Bergeron a few years ago in that specific way about Bergeron putting himself in a vulnerable position, needing to take better care of himself, or Mark Savard on Matt Cook knowing that at the middle of the ice with that curl, something bad might happen. You might want to be a little bit more heads up about it. don't remember that happening from the Bruins organization. So let's not pretend that we're philosophically consistent here, okay, Brian? Okay, Bruins.
But at the same time, though, like it was heartening this morning to Ace. Listen, for everybody who thinks that this was, I don't know, favoritism for one team over, I don't know what you think it is, but like there's every reason to suspend. Taves is a major star. Taves is the centerpiece of the hype machine for the biggest money-making event in the regular season for the National Hockey League. There's a TV show being filmed around Jonathan Taves. Mm-hmm. Like, what are the reasons for them not to punish a guy for hurting their meal ticket? Like, there's all these reasons. So for the NHL to not do it just by virtue, by just simply because there's an injury, and for most hockey fans to be like, I get that. I'm always heartened by the fact that I think that the things that the Department of Player Safety has done in the last several years have gone a long way towards re-educating players and fans about what's expected of them as when it comes to hits. I think it's worked. I think it's worked.
Let's get something straight. Not every injury, like there doesn't have to be a suspension for every single injury. There doesn't at all. So let's just remove that, because I mean we really saw some loaded language. You know, drove him into the boards. Brutal hit. Devastating hit. Dangerous play. It's hockey. Mm-hmm. It's a dangerous game. When you start watching a hockey game, expect that there is going to be some element of danger. Mm-hmm. And guys are going to maybe get hurt. And you know what? It's not going to be because of anything someone did deliberately. It's just going to be because in the course of a game over 60 minutes, in various situations, when you have things like boards that don't move, and players moving at velocities of 30 miles an hour, people are going to get hurt.
Now listen, speaking of injuries, or ailments, or illnesses.
You going to Crosby?
I just retweeted Josh Cooper, who wrote about the pictures from Pittsburgh Penguins practice today, and the availability after that practice.
Crosby dipping now? Is that what we're getting at?
Crosby. Well, it's one of...
Is he dipping?
It's one of maybe three things, or four things. Either he has the mumps... And
I don't know what that is.
The picture, by the way, I just retweeted it. The entire right side of his face
swollen.
As I said before, it looks like he got tired of the Penguins roster and is trying to grow his own winger through his cheek cells. Like it's that big.
Or he got his wisdom teeth removed.
It's one of three things: mumps, wisdom teeth. Because I've been there. Holy shit, does your face blow up with the wisdom teeth?
Mine didn't at all.
Mine did.
No, I was cool. I was Chuck Chillout on it.
I'll tell you a wisdom teeth story in 1 second. Mumps, wisdom teeth, sinus infection potentially, maybe.
Ooh.
Or he got plugged in the face with something. Now, considering they played the Rangers recently and Mark Stahl's still on the roster, I'm not ruling out number four. But, I mean, mumps are a thing.
I have no idea.
We've not had a case, I don't think, on the Penguins.
No, Minnesota's got all of it.
But Tanner Glass is on the Rangers. The Devils have two cases in Zajac and Larson. Didn't the Penguins just played the Devils, didn't they? They did. Fleury shut them out.
Yeah.
Or something along those lines.
Sure. Do we know where this all started, by the way?
It started in Anaheim.
Okay, but no, but... Sorry, maybe not where. Why it started? Like, one of the theories out there that I've heard is it
was
started...
Was that the CIA created it? Right, like,
as a diversion from the torture report. No, this is... the one theory that's out there is it started in California where a number of people refused to vaccinate themselves or their children.
That could be possible.
I don't know. That's just the only theory that I've heard.
I have a different theory. You want to hear it?
Yeah, what's your theory?
What's the connection between... Anaheim and Minnesota.
What's that? Between what? Sorry. What's
the connection between Anaheim and Minnesota?
Anaheim and Minnesota, Ilya Bryzgalov.
Nope. Before that, Danny Heatley. Danny Heatley is the outbreak monkey. He's the outbreak monkey. He's not been infected, like the outbreak monkey. The outbreak monkey didn't get sick in outbreak.
Right.
Everyone else did. Kevin Spacey died, spoiler warning, because of that monkey. So
he's been very slowly and quietly incubating since he was at Wisconsin.
Correct.
And waiting for the right time to spring this on the NHL.
Correct.
And right when it finally appears that's it for the career, boom, mumps. If I'm going out, everyone's going out.
In all seriousness, no. I think Crosby has the mumps, and I'm kind of puzzled as to why the Penguins allowed the biggest star in our sport to go before cameras looking like he's stuffing his cheeks like Brando in The Godfather. Why they don't come out and just say what the deal is. I mean, granted, I know there's a long history and tradition of being evasive about Sidney Crosby's health. I get that. But maybe once in a while we can just be honest about what's going on with him. And when his face is all puffed up like a Thanksgiving Day float balloon, mayhaps we could tell the reporters maybe, what the deal is.
Maybe it's just an allergic reaction to something. I don't know. I have no clue.
It's an allergic reaction to having Nick Spaulding and Steve Downey as your wingers. it triggered something in him.
That's it. Somehow he went from having Marian Hossa once upon a time, and but that listen, was it. Now his face finally explodes.
But listen, in all seriousness, though, all right, the Chicago Tribune did a story about the mumps thing last week, all right, and there in the United States last year, there were less than 600 documented cases of the mumps. Less than 600 in the U.S. If you go by population percentage...
Yeah, it's a freak. Have you ever had the NHL? Ever had the mumps?
No.
There's one guy that I work with, Paul Bromby, who's one of our producers.
I know Bromber.
Yeah, you know Bomber. Yeah, of course you know Bomber. So he had the mumps as an adult, and he said it's one of the most painful things he's ever gone through. He said it's just freaking awful.
Yeah. But listen, I've not had the mumps. I've not had the measles. This is me knocking on wood or whatever the hell this table's made of.
What about chickenpox? You had that?
I haven't.
Oh, I had mine late in life.
Well, yeah, and that's why I'm worried because as you all heard off the top of the program, I have a Petri dish that occasionally lives with me.
Yeah, that's right.
and she definitely.
You know what? See, I never – you know when I got it? I got it when I was I got it from, I was 29 years old when I got it. Mm-hmm. And it was from when I was training in martial arts. I used to also teach kids classes. And I got it from one of the kids. And it hung on to me for about 2 weeks. And it was awful. I couldn't leave the house. And apparently it's A, worse.
I'm
violently worse when you're an adult.
I'm someone who really like is sort of a curmudgeonly prick anyway in life.
I would
morph into the demon version of Larry David if I ever had the chicken pox for any stretch of time.
It would be
the worst thing for everybody.
I don't know anyone that's escaped it.
The thing I was so I don't know what the deal is, and I don't know what the deal with Sid Crosby is, but it's just a weird – this mumps thing is one of the weirdest subplots to a season I've ever seen.
It gives you a little bit of a preview of what Crosby's going to look like later on in life once he's retired if he just says, F it, and says, I'm just going to get fat. Because, you know, there are some guys that when they're done, they're like, oh, God, all that training, all that gym time, all that – I'm just done for a while. My metabolism is going to slow down.
You know, I know exactly what you're talking about, and then they get hired as the ambassador of fun for the Dallas Stars. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I shouldn't be making light of Brett Hull like that. That's terrible to say.
Oh, man.
All of Brett Hull.
Snug.
The golden jumbo Brett.
Snug.
It really does.
That's a little bit tight.
You're not a – you've never – have you ever been a fat guy?
No,
I can't imagine that you have.
No, I've been heavier when I was at university. But that's when I was – the thing is I was lifting really heavy at that time too. But I was never like a lift heavy kind of guy that got like big and muscular bulky. I just got bulky. I hated it. I got fat in college.
I got fat in college. I was actually just reminiscing with Ruby about this. The idea that when you have a meal plan – and the money doesn't carry over.
I got the frosh 15, dude.
I got the frosh like 25.
Oof.
It's embarrassing. But that's the problem with me is that I inherit certain genes from my parents, i.e. I'm never that fat, but I have a turkey gobbler neck sometimes. And sometimes my father likes to ridicule it because it's not his side of the family, but there's a certain weeble wobble aspect to our bodies.
That's
a lovely pair of shapes.
Then your favorite goaltender should be Walter Turk Broda then. Cause that's how he got his nickname. Turk Broda, turkey neck.
From his turkey neck?
Yeah. Turkey neck Broda.
Joining us now on the line, now that I've outed myself as a fat kid, is the lovely Jen Neal from Puck Daddy.
What's up, Jen?
Hi, guys. That was the weirdest conversation to come in on. I have to, like, all I heard was lifting, and then I'm fat, and then a turkey neck, and...
Yeah.
And some reference to an old goaltender.
Welcome to Guy Problems. So Jen's never... We realized the other day that Jen's never been on. Like,
I can't believe that.
Everybody from the Puck Daddy family's been on, and Jen's never been on. But I think part of it is how insane your life is away from hockey writing. Probably your schedule does not dictate much free time to do these sorts of frivolity things. You're done with finals now.
Yes, I am.
Hang on, Jen. This is hockey, so it's final.
Oh God!
Sorry, I had to throw that in just to piss off Wyshynski. Sorry, Jen. Hey, for people that don't know, by the way, sorry to harsh your first answer here, but tell people what you do away from Puck Daddy.
I am a mental health advocate. I'm currently getting my master's in psychology, and then I'm going to be getting an additional master's in social work. And my primary focus is with survivors of domestic violence, sexual assault, just trauma. And so writing about hockey is my happy place I get to go to when I can write about the mumps and whatnot.
Of course, it should be said that the two worlds collided. If you haven't read the really awesome roundtable/interview that Jen did a couple of weeks back at the height of the Voinoff stuff, go back and I'll tweet out the link later. But it was really spot on. And again, it spoke to your strengths and in your field of study. I thought it was really well informed and went down a lot of rabbit holes that hadn't been gone down yet in other versions of that story. So it was really good to see. And obviously, you're doing much more important work than
than
writing about the mumps on the regular.
I actually want to ask you a question about your research and sort of where you're at and where you're heading. I'm curious because when you look at people that come back from war and suffer PTSD and various mental trauma, you know, one of the more, I don't even know if unique is the right word or maybe controversial ways to deal with it, which has proven from everything that I've read to be surprisingly successful, is MDMA. Have you studied anything about... Yeah, MDMA. For a lot of people that suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder.
Not in the research I've read, it's more beta blockers, which they use with people with, I think, hypertension or high blood pressure, which is not a drug. I mean, it's a drug, but it's not a drug like MDMA. I would have to do more research on that, but I can't imagine that's good for you because the way MDMA kind of attacks the brain, I would be really surprised if that's it. Maybe it's some crazy Canadian research.
Well, I don't know about that one. I mean,
I'm gonna look that up.
While you're at it, look up. I know there's some doctors in California. Again, this is another controversial one as well. But use dimethyltryptamine to treat a lot of parents and people and so survivors of domestic and sexual abuse as well. It's not for everybody, and I get that. And you go, here comes Merrick with all of his, you know, pharmacology and all that kind of shit. Drugs will solve everything, Merrick. Okay, but.
I think drugs are important. I mean, drugs are always a part when therapy can only do so much. And I think that's one thing that people need to realize is that therapy is a great start. But at some point, and I'm always open about my struggles with mental illness, is that I grew up with severe social anxiety disorder. Like, I started following hockey because the only place I felt safe was in my house watching the Mighty Ducks play or in then the pond. Mm-hmm. Watching the Mighty Ducks play. Otherwise, I couldn't leave my house. I could go to school and come home, or that's it. And for me, therapy was a great addition, but I also had to add in Paxil on top of that because there are just some things your brain is wired differently, and it's important to realize that.
Mm. So I'm curious if I can follow up on that about the Ducks and going to the pond as a safe place for you, or as a cradle for you. How'd you find that out?
Yeah.
How did you find that out?
Well, you know, it was really my family moved back to California from Texas in 1986. So the Mighty Ducks were just still kind of new. And my dad, he worked for Mazda, and so we got a lot of free tickets. And I went there, and I would go to Angels games, and I would have massive panic attacks in the middle of it where we would leave by the second inning. Yeah. But for whatever it was, it was – the hockey just distracted me from whatever my trigger was, which even if my parents are there, my trigger was always that if they were away from me, they were going, something was going bad going to happen to them. But even just being there, I was fine and I was distracted and being able to kind of engage in that part of my life. And when I started writing almost, 5 years ago now, I was really depressed. I was really in a bad place. I had just been laid off from a job of 8 years, and I found hockey is where I found my strength, and it was just, it's been a unique journey and a unique marriage for me, because I've been able to find what I really enjoy and also find the path that I'm supposed to be on.
Here's why I find that interesting, is because hockey, I don't know anyone, I mean, there are certain elements of it that are relaxing, I suppose, but I don't know anyone that has sought out hockey in order to relax. Like, it's not baseball. Like, it's not like a really calm sport.
But well, here's the thing. Was it the constant action, though? I mean, like, baseball has so many stops and starts that I think it's kind of annoying. Was it just the constant flow of action that kind of kept you distracted?
That really was it. And what I remember from my very first game, my family, I was born in Pittsburgh. My dad grew up in Pittsburgh. We're supposed to be, like, Pittsburgh everything fans, but we went to the Penguins and the Mighty Ducks. So Yager was there. Korea was on the team. And I just remember watching them and being so amazed at the action, the skill, the environment itself. It just took me away from everything I was afraid of and everything that was really difficult for me to deal with at that time, having just moved, you know, in junior high when you're super awkward. And that was my place. And I really have always gone back to hockey as my happy place.
This may sound weird. Maybe a stupid question, but Jen, you've heard me plenty of times on this podcast. Is it because the game is played in a box that it feels that it's a little bit safer and removed from reality? Like, there's a lot of other sports, like with the sport itself bleeds into the stands, whether it's basketball or baseball or football. There's an out of bounds. In hockey, there's no out of bounds. And in some ways, I think a lot of it reinforces this idea that this is a completely other world than the one that I live in and I can escape in it.
Well, what's funny is that I'm better with crowds. Like, I'll still go to concerts and stuff, but I'm not really good with crowds. But when I'm, you know, at Honda Center or if I'm at Staples or somewhere else, like, for whatever reason, I'm just good. And I don't know if it's the box atmosphere, because I like going to Angels games. I mean, maybe because I'm, you know, 31 and I can drink a lot of beer, but I don't know. There's something about, when I would walk in, we would do this cognitive behavior therapy with my therapist, and she would say, imagine one place that's not your home, and imagine you being there and what it feels like and what it is. And she's like, okay, well, where'd you go? And I went, the pond. And she was like, what? And I was like, I could smell the ice. I could hear the goal sound. I could hear the players, like, as they were stopping and changing directions. And she was like, hey, just go with it. If that works for you, that works for you.
That's fine. I mean, when we started this conversation, I was really thinking that you're going to tell us that you just knew that Guy Hebert wasn't your goalie, so no matter what, life was better than the Mighty Ducks at that point.
let me ask
you. It's got it a completely different direction than that.
Let me ask you one final follow-up on the personal life of Jen Neal here, and then we'll get on to actual hockey conversation. You mentioned your father worked for Mazda, right? At any point in your life, did you have an RX-7 in your driveway?
No, but, my dad did. He had, his RX-7 was his favorite car. He was up in the executive corps by the end of, he retired really early, but the Mazda RX-7 was his favorite. And I'll just give you a funny quick story, is that when we were living in Florida, each time he got transferred, we had to move, but he was driving his RX-7, he was blasting Bruce Springsteen, and he was going on, like, a slow speed chase with a cop behind him because he couldn't hear the sirens, and they were trying to pull him over for speeding, so he had, like, a small slow speed chase, but, or not slow speed, I guess he was speeding, but my mom and I drive Miatas now. And we're a 5 Mazda family, or we're a 4 Mazda family.
Wow. Hey, I'm just picking up on, like, sort of little clues, your Easter eggs you're dropping here. I was at the gym this morning. You mentioned Bruce Springsteen. At the gym this morning, and for the first time, I really listened to the lyrics and thought about the lyrics from Bruce Springsteen's Hungry Heart. How come that song gets a free pass?
I have no idea what that song is.
Well, let me recite back the opening lyrics. Got a wife and kids in Baltimore, Jack. I went out for a ride, and I never went back. It's a story about family abandonment. Dude that just walks out on his family. And everyone's just sort of singing along, going, yeah, Bruce, this is awesome. It's a terrible story.
You know, I've been to a Bruce Springsteen concert, and when I was there, I was 17, I think, and I put in earplugs and read a book.
Come on.
My parents rocked out next to me.
I've seen Springsteen like almost a dozen times, and I love it every single time. Although I haven't been to John Berenstein.
John Delapina just fainted. He's like the biggest Springsteen fan in the league.
Sorry.
All right, listen, Jen. This is very important things happening on the ice for your Ducks.
Oh, yes.
For example, they have mastered the art of the one-goal victory, haven't they?
Yeah, Bruce said the other night on TV, he was saying, like, I don't know if they like playing like this, but if they keep winning, I guess it's okay. And it was like, oh, it's such a Bruce comment. But, yeah, they're a weird team. They just don't know how to play, and I hate using the cliche 60 minutes of hockey, but they just don't. They're really good either usually in the second period after Bruce yells at them during the first intermission, and then they're okay during the third. It's just, I think at this point they're getting lucky that they're scoring one more goal than the opposition.
You know, Boudreaux was on Hockey Central at noon today, and they brought up the issue of Rene Bourque. And if you sort of read in between the lines of the answer that he gave about Rene Bourque, about only now being able to get up to proper speed to compete, showing up, and he wasn't in the shape that he hoped to be, I'm guessing that Rene Bourque probably wasn't an idea that was run past the head coach of the Anaheim Ducks before Murray made the trade. But nonetheless, what are your thoughts on the enigmatic occasional power forward that is Rene Bourque?
You know, I think for the first time we saw his best game in this last game against Edmonton on Wednesday, except that in his best game, he missed, like, maybe three, like, wide open. The goalie was at Starbucks getting a coffee openness, and he still managed to shank it each time. And I didn't understand that trade. I guess they were just done with Brian Allen, which makes no sense to me because their defense is weird. But I don't understand the Rene Bourque trade. They did this with Max LaPierre a few years ago, and Bruce, they ended up flipping him like maybe less than a month later, and I thought that might be the case, that Bruce just wasn't happy. But they have so many good young prospects. I don't understand why they would go after somebody like Bourque instead of bringing up one of the amazing forwards they have in the AHL right now.
The goaltending situation this year for the Ducks is very interesting.
Who's your goalie?
Who's the goalie today? Yay, it's Freddie again.
It's going to be Freddie again. I think it's 13th or 17th straight starter, some craziness, some Corey Schneider craziness. But the whole thing with Gibson's weird. Like, kid gets hurt, and then all of a sudden the announcement comes down they're going to bury him in the AHL this season and have Bryzgalov come in as the backup. Is that just merely them saying that we don't want to go with the two kids, that we find it necessary to have a veteran just in case things go a little wonky with Anderson?
I think that was misreported in a way. Dan Wood, who is the color commentator for the radio, said that there was no indication that Gibson was going to be buried in the minors when he gets back. He's still out. He's just started skating again. So LaBarbera getting hurt, I mean, he broke a finger, broke a bone in his hand, was obviously not ideal. And having Igor Bobkov sit and back up Frederick Anderson was a terrifying situation. But they just activated LaBarbera, and Briz is getting in his, he said he needed 10 days to get in shape. So he's in the AHL doing that right now. I mean, I think my feeling is that they're trying to guard against all possibilities of what happened in the playoffs last year happening again. But playoffs were just highly, I thought, mismanaged. I thought Hiller should have been in there before Gibson was. That was just luck of the draw. I mean, the goaltending situation, Freddie is outstanding. He has his moments. He's like Hiller in that aspect, but it's just weird. It's another weird thing that's going on.
Yeah, it is bizarre, and I can't sit here and tell you who I think will be the starting goaltender on day one of the playoffs, because I honestly really have no clue. Who's been the most, it's been a wonderful story so far for the Ducks this year, even though, as you mentioned, I don't think that we've seen the best game out of the Anaheim Ducks yet, but they're the number one team in the NHL, so go figure. Who's been the most pleasant surprise? Is the answer Ryan Kessler?
No, this is honestly what I expected of Kessler. If he had big expectations coming in, but again, when you have big expectations in a market like Anaheim, it's totally different than big expectations in a market like Vancouver. We expected him to be Ryan Kessler, and that's exactly what he's doing. The biggest surprise for me is Matt Bolesky. He has been in the Duck system for a while, and he took the off season. He got married. He started working with a skills coach, and it's really paid off. He's already topped his career high in goals from last season. I think he's at 13 or 14 right now, and he has just been what Nick Bonino was last year. He's that surprise goal scorer that they needed. So he's been the most pleasant surprise, at least for me.
All right, let me ask you a West Coast fandom question, because I was watching I want to say it was a Geico ad before. Well, I was, getting my daily dose of The Price is Right. And in the ad, it was a guy in a Kings shirt at a bar. And I think it was a blind date. And this woman walks up to him. Right, with the Sharks gear on. And his immediate reaction, their immediate reaction was both like recoiling from that. Now, I imagine because of the playoffs, there's bitterness there. Probably more on her end than his end. And I know that we've got the outdoor game coming up. But is there any comparison between the emotions inherent in the Anaheim LA Kings relationship versus the San Jose LA relationship? Like, is there any comparison in the intensity of hatred there?
Yeah, I think that, well, especially now, the fans have always hated each other. I mean, we've always just, I laugh at it now because we as Ducks fans have held our cup over the heads of the Kings, for years, and then they go and win for two. And so now it's coming back to bite us in the ass. And so the fans have really picked up on that intensity. And I haven't seen any fights in the stands yet, but I've only seen that with, like, Chicago and Detroit when they come in. But there is, I mean, I have buddies that are Kings fans, and they're always ribbing me now that they've got their two, whatever. But there is that intensity there. Would I recoil on a blind date? Maybe not. Depends how good looking he is. But it's, I don't know. It really is. It's just, and is he funny? And can I tolerate him? And how much of a Kings fan would he be?
And this has happened before. I've dated Ranger fans before. Never dated a Flyer fan. But I've dated Ranger fans before, and I've never had a problem with it. It makes life more interesting to have a rival in the house.
I had an ex-boyfriend that was a Sharks fan, and when the Ducks and the Sharks met in the playoffs, and always beat the Sharks, it was fun. It was fun. But at the same time, that helps my hatred of the Sharks as well, because he is now an ex-boyfriend.
I'm guessing to both of you the phrase, hun, could you leave the jersey on? Probably never came up in the relationship, though. Yeah.
No.
Probably not.
Jeff Merrick.
Probably not.
It just, I would be much more concerned if she said to me, well, I'm just a huge baseball fan, and I don't know much about hockey. That would be more offensive than her showing up in a Flyers jersey at the date.
Where guys are like, I don't get hockey. I watch baseball, and I was like, that's
you tell them the same thing that I've always told the people on this podcast to say to their quote unquote non hockey friends and family, which is that it's not that you're not a hockey fan. It's just that you have yet to let the light of hockey into your heart.
I would say that people, too. I've converted so many people just by taking them to a game. That's all you need to do.
A lot. I'm happy you said that. Canadians don't have to. Yeah. Right. Canadians don't have to listen to this part because everyone's a hockey fan in Canada, as we know. But here in the States, there needs to be more recruiting and proselytizing and converting done by American sports fans, American hockey fans.
Like Jehovah style?
It's on us. It's on us to create
new fans.
Yeah,
straight up, I'll knock on your door and come get you.
Sunday morning, go Jehovah style. Everybody,
right.
Mobilize hockey
Absolutely.
Fans across America.
I would love if there was a Book of Mormon about hockey fans. Right. All of us just recruiting people. That's absolutely how it's
Well, the thing, too, is that, like, with the Ducks, everybody, you know, talks about their really cheap ticket prices, and that's a great thing. And, yeah, it attracts a lot of the other fans, and I think that's a plus. I mean, if they're still raking in the money, I mean, Ducks fans still need to show up and cheer, but that's another great way to just get people to go to the game. They have the cheapest tickets in the league, and you get to see a great product. It's a great recruiting tool, and I think the Ducks are kind of realizing that now and reaching out much, much more into the Orange County community to get people to the game.
Hey, Jen, when's the last time we saw Snoop Dogg at a Ducks game?
2007.
Front runner. Freaking front runner. All right.
All right, last one.
High school football, so he's out. Doing that.
Oh, that's right.
The youth football. Last one for me, Jen. Have you gotten a chance to see the Sharks outdoor jersey today?
I did, and I just tweeted about that. It reminds me of, like, color blocking from the 90s. But, like, remember when Yaga came out and they had, like, their red, green, and yellow, like, blocked shirts?
Uh-huh.
That's
yes.
kind of what it reminds me of.
So, in some way, it's a throwback, is what you're saying.
Possibly. I don't know if I like them.
I haven't seen these yet. Are they on NHL.com?
Well, dude, they're
Oh, hang on. I'm going to go to NHL.com.
They have, like, big horizontal stripes, both them and the Kings. It's a very odd look. I'm not crazy about the
difference. Yeah.
Someone's really crazy enough.
You know what the best... okay, are you on NHL.com, guys? Go to NHL.com and go to the... There's a very thinly veiled Paul McLean reference on this jersey story. Actually, on SanJoseSharks.com as well. Go to the jersey story with the San Jose Sharks and go down to look at the two examples of the front and the back and look what it says on the back. It's a Paul McLean reference.
What does it say on the back?
Player 15.
Oh, no, is it really? No, but I mean, dude, that's not a Paul McLean. That's because the game's in 2015, knucklehead.
Dude, I'm interpreting it as that. Thank you. Thanks, Greg Wyshynski. Thanks for playing along. Oh, jeez.
We could have a field day with this psychology.
Player 15.
Literal Greg project onto. Steps in.
Yeah,
it looks stupid. It looks like the kind of like jersey variation they have on NHL.com that's at about a 30% or 40% discount in about 2 months because no one's purchased it yet. But maybe I'm wrong.
Like
maybe people
jersey.
Really like them. Yeah.
Hey, Merrick, did you know right. my first on Puck Daddy Radio and meeting Wyshynski was Game Show Friday. I was a contestant.
What?
Yeah.
Was this with me?
No, it was with Pizzo.
Oh, with the really? I didn't know that. With the peas?
Yeah, when Sauce Hockey used to, or was it Sauce Hockey that used to give prizes, and I got like all kinds of random.
What'd you get?
Yeah.
What'd you get?
What was the format back then for the game show?
It was Molar Madness.
Oh, that's right.
Molar Madness? What's Molar Madness?
We used to play audio clips of Randy Molar, and you'd have to guess the pop culture reference.
Oh, my God, that's awesome. Oh, that is really fun. Oh, I love that.
That was a lot of fun.
So that's how I met Wyshynski, and then this whole train wreck started. So.
see what this is what happens when you get in touch with Greg and you stay in touch with Greg.
It's not a train wreck, but listen, you referenced it, and we have to get to it, the game show Friday. But I want to say to everybody – that I can't tell you everything Jen's working on for Puck Daddy, but I will tell you this, that there is a very interesting comparison piece between the game experiences in Anaheim and Los Angeles that will be hitting the blog soon, and I'm really looking forward to it.
I was hanging with Mr. Cooper.
that would be the lovely and talented Josh Cooper. Who, by the way,
the games that we're working on.
I recommend it if you've not read it. Josh Cooper's interview with Jack Eichel. Believe me, there's more than just that ASU quote that seems to be getting a lot of notice. Eichel's got some really cool stuff in there about the NCAA versus the CHL and the McDavid stuff and the draft lottery stuff. The fact that his big term paper is about trying to find a way to modernize libraries and have them not be extinct. I think we might have cracked the code on Jack Eichel.
Really?
Jack Eichel's a hell of a lot more interesting now than he was this morning.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. About
good on
libraries.
Josh for writing that. It was really good.
That sounds like a boring paper.
I like, hey, listen, dude, hop on the MDMA train. And,
oh, my God.
Right? There's your paper. There's your paper right there.
How libraries can modernize and thrive if they distribute Molly.
Yeah,
that's the paper you're talking about.
Just on the way out. You don't want them all hepped when they come in.
That's true. All right, Jen, thank you so much for joining us. We'll obviously have to have you on again because everybody really liked you.
Yeah. Twitter says yes so far.
Twitter says yes. Well, then we have to do what Twitter says, right?
We must obey. We must obey the tweets.
Okay.
That's
thanks,
funny,
Jen.
By the way.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right. Take care, Jen Neal. Jen Neal of Puck Daddy, ladies and gentlemen, formerly of Anaheim Calling. Jen writes for us, but hopefully writes more, though, that some of her off-ice, off-blog school stuff is a bit more settled.
Yeah.
Shelley Anderson, who writes for the Pittsburgh Gazette.
I know her.
Oh, she's freelancing now, I should say. Mm-hmm. I don't want to, she writes about Sidney Crosby that Sid, after the cameras were turned off, Sid noted that if he had the mumps, he would not be at the arena getting ready to play. Does anyone believe that?
I do. I don't think they'd let him.
I don't.
Wait, you don't think they'd quarantine him?
What's wrong with his face?
I have no idea what's wrong with his face.
There's something wrong with his face.
I don't know.
They said, she said something along like, this is Shelley again, said something about sinuses before. She responded to somebody by saying that she thought it was something sinus related. The sinuses aren't there, though. That's the thing that bothers me.
Listen, you and I both are unqualified to talk about this. You know what? I have a doctor friend of mine. Actually, she just became a doctor. I'll ask her. And she's a hockey fan.
She said she asked Crosby. Crosby did not directly say, but think in terms of sinus related issue.
Hang on.
Looks like he's got half a mango stuffed in the side of his cheek. That cannot be sinus related.
Hang on. What's up with
all right, Crosby? We have to get to a Friday Crosby favorite. Is our victim there yet or no?
I don't know. Maddie? All right, he's there.
All right, cool. It's time for a Friday favorite.
It's game show Friday!
Hey, join us now on the line would be the lovely and talented Brian Palmer. You don't have to ease me along.
No, that's great to be here.
Producer Matt prompting.
The lovely and talented Brian Palmer joins us now. You are a huge super fan of the podcast, so we'd love to have you on for this game show Friday.
Oh, thank you.
And you do note that in your pitch to us, you do note that you don't think that you're the seventh emailer, and I can't remember if you were or you weren't, but you say that while you're not from Stouffville, you found out that one of your coworkers was from Stouffville.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was a huge surprise yesterday. It's just a new girl that started a couple weeks ago, and she was mentioning that she frequents a bar called Colonel Mustard
in Stouffville. Colonel Mustard.
Colonel Mustard.
Got me. There's a Sergeant Pepper. There's a Sergeant Pepper's, but I don't know.
I ate
Colonel
this meal
Mustard
in the dining room with the knife.
Yeah, I know. I thought it was me. It was a Clue reference in Stouffville, and I got all excited. I was so excited.
Wow.
That I actually forgot to know if she knew you.
I don't. If there is, I don't know it. I've never been there. Now, does she still live in Stouffville?
I believe she does. Yeah, I only talked to her briefly, though. I couldn't get the full bio, unfortunately.
Hang on. Where do you live?
I live in London.
London, Ontario, or London, England?
I'm in Ontario.
Okay,
my company I work for is in Toronto, so I visit the office every now and then.
Now, how often do you go to Bud Gardens?
Bud Gardens? I've actually been this year. It's a little difficult to get tickets sometimes.
You got a good team this year. Like, they're supposed to be rebuilding. Knights are good again this year.
The Knights always find a way. It's, you know, you usually stick with junior hockey. You know, you go through those cycles, but
Now, Mark Hunter. Yeah. You know what? Mark Hunter does such a great job scouting and a great job recruiting. He's that guy's gold. Yeah. And now he can do it on the Maple Leafs ticket too, on the Maple Leafs dime.
Have you ever been to Professor Plum's or Miss Peacock? Or, no.
No, Greg. Not all these things exist. I go to Boston Pizza. I go to Boston Pizza. I'll be there tonight after the CHL game. Anyone in the area?
Brian Palmer, you, of course, are today's Victim for Game Show Friday. The subjects that you gave us before you came on, the WHA, the NHL, the 1990s, the Leafs, or things thrown on the ice during Leafs games, which mm-hmm. obviously would just relegate it to hats, jerseys, and waffles, so we obviously aren't going to be going there. But we do have a number of questions for you. Now, your favorite team is the Leafs?
Yeah, lifelong Leaf fan for some reason.
Now, are you heartened or disheartened by the news this week about Mike Babcock, or do you believe that the entire Mike Babcock thing is the invention of the mitten stringers, as the pension plan puppets boys believed?
You know, it's nice to think that, you know, Mike Babcock could come in and just change everything, wave his magical Babcock wand, but, even if he did come to the Leafs, I don't even think it would make that much of a difference. I think it would just be, it'd be like two months of struggling hockey, then the media would get on him, and it would just be a whole other thing. So, I don't know. It would be cool for a bit, but I can live without Mike Babcock.
Interesting. We didn't get a chance to talk about that yesterday because there wasn't a show. But I like Bob Duff a lot, and I think he's a good reporter. But boy, did he step in it yesterday with that stuff with Babcock.
Yeah, I like Bob Duff a lot too.
We'll just leave it at that.
And listen, man,
it was not a good.
Wasn't a good day.
No, it was not.
Sometimes you think you have something and you don't.
It stinks.
It's a terrible feeling. It's a terrible feeling.
I will say this though. I heard he didn't show up to practice, which is bothersome. Maybe he already got his ass tore out by the Red Wings and decided to just not.
Don't know, but we don't know why he didn't. If he didn't, so yeah. I don't know the full story there.
Bob Duff is a good dude, and sorry,
yes, he is.
It was a bum lead. Speaking of do the job, I also want to point out that I, on the way to picking up Vivian yesterday, listened to both CM Punk interviews with Cole Cabana and listened to Vince with Stone Cold.
That Vince? Is a great listen there.
Vince is on Stone Cold?
God.
Really? How was it?
Yeah, that was awesome.
It was good, eh, Brian?
It on YouTube. You have to find it on YouTube because it was on the NHL, on the WWE Network. But it's like an hour plus of Stone Cold and Vince, and it's Austin doesn't go all Mike Wallace on him or anything like that, 60 Minutes style, but he definitely gets some stuff out of Vince that was stuff I didn't know and stuff that I found really interesting about himself, about his relationship with the wrestlers, about admitting that this generation of millennials lacks any ounce of desire to put themselves over in the same way that the group in the 90s did. Like, just threw the entire roster under the bus.
Really,
very
eh?
Interesting. Yeah, yeah, it was really interesting.
That was really... It's also on Podcast One. That's where Austin podcasts from. You can listen to it there as well.
I
couldn't find it on his feed, but I'm sure you can find it somewhere. I just was probably looking in the wrong place. Anyways, Game Show Friday. As you know, five rounds, three categories each round. You need to get three rounds correct in order to win the big prize the producer Matt will send you. Are you prepared to be this week's victim of Game Show Friday?
Yes.
Round one, your categories are the WHA, NHL Outdoor Games, and the ever-popular Celebrating a Birthday.
Oh.
Well, I think I have to go with WHA after I was first on my list, so.
Yes.
All right. Now, I've written this question. Merrick did not. Merrick, if I have it wrong, if I have this wrong, please speak up.
Okay.
Which Hockey Hall of Famer did not have ties to the WHA? Oh. The World Hockey Association. This is the old school deal.
Rebel
Gordie Howe and all that.
Yeah.
Rebel League. Andy Bathgate, Mark Howe, Rod Langway, or Brian Trottier?
Oh, interesting. Well, Mark Howe, definitely. I'm pretty sure Andy Bathgate was involved. We played a bit in the WHA. So it was Trottier. And who was the other choice?
Rod Langway.
I'm going to have to say Langway.
That would be incorrect. Rod Langway played for the Birmingham Bulls Bathgate with the Vancouver Blazers, and of course, Mark Howe with Houston. Brian Trottier, as far as I can tell, Merrick, no association with the association.
I think he was drafted by the WHA. I will check
never
that
played,
right
probably.
Now, but never played. I mean, all those guys were drafted.
Right. All right, so you're 0-for-1, and that's okay. I think you'll be okay.
I hope so.
Round two, Leafs trades, NHL in the 1990s, or minor league hockey nicknames?
Drafted by Cincinnati Stingers, Greg, by the way. Second round, 18th overall, 1974, WHA amateur
draft. Never played, though, right? Just making sure on that.
Never played in the WHA.
Right. Okay.
I think I'm going to go with Leaf trades.
Oh, you're backing Leaf off trade. The WHA, are you?
That was one of the options.
Oh, okay. All right, never mind.
Leaf trades. Yeah, this is a good one. I think you're going to like this one. Okay. Of the seven players involved in the Dion Phaneuf trade on January 21st, 2010, a scant almost five years ago.
Mm-hmm.
How many of those seven players are currently on NHL rosters?
Oh.
Oh, interesting. Do you mind if I work it out aloud?
Please do.
Well, Phaneuf and Stajan, obviously.
Yep.
That's two. Keith Ollie, I think, is in the NHL right now.
Edmonton.
Hagman, no. I wouldn't think so. Mayers, no. And so I guess three.
That's correct. Well done, sir. That's a Leafs fan, ladies and gentlemen, right there to know the principles of that deal. Yeah, Sjöström, no. Hagman's in the KHL, and Myers is on TV. I mean, he's on the NHL Network frequently. That's got to count for something. And I'm missing one guy in that trade. I forget who.
Freddie Sjöström.
Ian White no longer is playing as well. He's listed as an unrestricted. I think he retired actually officially. But
has he officially retired? Yeah, I don't know if he did.
He might have.
Might have. Okay. I know he's done. Yeah.
Well, it's not as bad as what we usually do on the show, which is say that dead people are alive or alive people are dead.
Sometimes happens.
Chronic problem on the spot.
It ended for Ian in Detroit, right? Where he scratched like 20 games in a row.
Right.
He like slept in on a practice, and Babcock was like, "All right, that's it.
Right.
Done.
You know, we don't appreciate you guys sticking in during practice."
Round three, you are 1-1, obviously. Round three, current NHL stat leaders, NHL around the world, or hockey movies?
Let's go with NHL around the world.
NHL Around the World is the toughest of the three that I've given you, but we're going to give
it
to you anyway. How many players in National Hockey League history, according to the stats provided by NationalHockeyLeague.com, NHL.com for the layman, how many players in NHL history were born in Kazakhstan? 0, 1, 2, or 3?
Hang on, current?
No,
or
of all time?
Time
in the history of the
time,
league.
Man.
How many players in NHL history were born in Kazakhstan? 0, 1, 2, or 3?
Now, is this a trick question where a guy could have been born in what is now Kazakhstan but was then the Soviet Union?
God damn it, Brian. This is simply when I pull down Kazakhstan on the NHL.com menu and
then I
hit search. Yeah. how many names come up? 0, 1, 2, or 3?
I'm gonna say one.
I'm gonna agree with Mr. Merrick and go with one.
Let's see. You phoned a friend and you believe you have the answer. The answer, of course, is three.
Oh, really? Nick Antropov and who else?
Konstantin Pushkarev.
Yeah, Konstantin Pushkarev. Yeah.
Who played 17 games from 2005 and 2007, and Konstantin Shafronov. Not Sharifanov, but Shafronov. Who you may remember him from his five games played in 96-97. So the answer is three.
Huh.
That was really tough, damn.
Now, how many players are worth a damn were born in Kazakhstan? If that had been the question, the answer is
would
one.
Would have been one. Actually, Nikki's kid is playing GTHL.
How tall is he?
I don't think he's tall as Nick. I think he's as good as Nick. Nick was a good player, man. He was
a good player. Could never harness it. Another guy like Gratton, who, you know,
I know,
the height was deceiving. As far as the style of play. All right, you were 1-2, but these questions admittedly are a little bit tougher because we know that you're a hardcore puckhead. Round four, your choices are sweater numbers, current NHL standings, or NHL outdoor games.
If you'll notice, he Canadianized that one. It's sweater numbers, not jersey numbers.
I appreciate that. Let's go with, you did the work to say sweater. Let's go with sweater numbers.
Sweater numbers it is. Now keep in mind, sir, this is do or die time. You need to run the table here. The numbers are not in your favor. One more loss, one more defeat, one more wrong answer, and the journey ends for you here. Sweater numbers. According to Hockey Reference, hockey-reference.com, 15 players, including Jaromír Jágr, have worn the number 68 during their NHL career. That includes this high-scoring former New York Islanders and Los Angeles Kings winger who wore 68 while with the Islanders. Name him.
First name comes to mind is Z. Palfy.
Correct. There you go.
Hang on a second. What? So Greg Canadianizes it and calls it sweater numbers, and you say Z. Palfy?
He said Ziggy.
Oh, okay. I said Z. Palfy.
You would have said Zed Palfy.
Okay, good. Okay, I'll just clear that up.
Me and Ziggy are on good terms. So
All right. Here we go. This is it, ladies and gentlemen. This is the final round. He's 2-2. We rarely get to this point in Game Show Friday, and
very exciting.
We are. We're all here together. Your choices are NHL outdoor games, NHL in the 1990s,
Stouffville,
or minor league hockey names.
Stouffville Mares.
Well, I'm going to have to go with NHL in the 1990s because that was one of my picks.
For the win or the loss, dun, 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 dun. NHL in the 1990s. For the first time in 29 years, the Chicago Blackhawks did this in 1998. For the first time in 29 years, they did this in 1998. What was your answer?
They missed the playoffs.
I just paused for drama. Of course that's correct! Congratulations, Brian. You won Game Show Friday. A clutch answer, a clutch category. You played it well. You brought it down to the wire.
Did too.
Congratulations. You did it.
Thank you very much. Those were really tough. That was hard. Got my heart pumping.
For shits and giggles real quick?
Sure.
It was leaked this week that Boston will host the Winter Classic in 2016 because Jeremy Jacobs obviously rubbed the right hand of Gary Bettman during all those trials and tribulations during the lockout. it was leaked that Boston will host the Winter Classic in 2016. The last one they hosted was 2010. A 2-1 overtime win over the Philadelphia Flyers. Which former NHL winger had the game-winning goal in overtime for Boston?
Was it Marco Sturm?
It was, in fact, Marco Sturm. Cool. Look at that.
Brian Palmer knows that she is. What a boy.
Aaron Lerner, by the way, wants to formally file a protest to say that Nabokov is from Kazakhstan. Aaron, once again, I say this.
Get lost.
As he says that Wikipedia lists 8 names from that country. I say this again. It is the pull-down menu from NHL.com, and obviously I did not pull down goalies. I just pulled down forwards. All's well that ends well.
Whatever, yeah, Brian won.
Probably also should have looked at goalies, but as we all know what's up. Goalies aren't players. I said players.
Wow, that's awesome. I'm trying to find – Phil Coker. Tweets in, by the way, looks legit to your friend's pub of choice, Colonel Mustard's.
Oh yeah,
it's not in Stouffville; it's in Markham. That's a little bit south of Stouffville.
She was a little wishy washy on doesn't Stouffville and Markham just kind of
eventually Stouffville's going to get gobbled up by Markham, but until then, I'll still consider myself from Stouffville. But you know what, Colonel Mustard's kind of does look cool. Mustardsmarkham.com is the website.
What interests me about it, and I guess, actually, Jeff, it wouldn't interest you, but they had a surf and turf there, a steak and a lobster for only $23.
Is that cheap for surf and turf? I don't know.
I think it is, isn't it? Like a lobster?
I don't know. Greg, you're a surf and turf guy?
Wait, well, I'm sorry. What was the question again? How much was it?
Surf and turf for $23. Is that good?
It's, I mean, not with the current exchange rate, but, I mean, it's pretty good overall.
Oh, okay.
With the current exchange,
I thought it was a heck of a deal. So,
hey, listen, the Canadian dollar in comparison to the ruble, that was fun.
It's gonna
all right,
tear down
Brian
the
Palmer,
NHL.
you're a gentleman and a scholar. Anything you'd like to plug now that you were victorious? You would have been victorious anyway because I effed up the Kazakhstan question for not checking on actual, you know, goalies. But what would you like to plug, sir?
I'm on Twitter at the real Palmer. There's an underscore between the and real and Palmer. I tweet some stuff about hockey, some stuff complaining about weather specialists, and I retweet old wrestling photos as well. So it's
come on, do you really?
I just retweet it from a site, a Twitter account that actually does that.
Okay, so hang on, it's at the real Palmer.
Yeah, with underscores in between the words. So the underscore real underscore Palmer.
Well, I'm really happy that you did do that. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of competition with Robert and Carson and also the late Laura Palmer that are all vying to be the real Palmer. But you obviously got in while the getting's good with that Twitter handle.
I think I've tweeted. I recognize it. Hang on, haven't I tweeted back and forth with you before?
Yeah, I think I once tweeted a picture of a Vancouver Voodoo jacket.
Oh, that would have been it. Yeah, that's a great RHI team.
You understand that Brian's a fan of the show. You
know, yeah. No. I get that. I get that. I just recognize because it's a great frog avatar.
That's right.
With the Hypnotoad.
Psychedelic.
Hypnotoad. Yeah.
Hypnotoad. Yeah. Is that what that is?
All right. Okay, yes, sir, congratulations again. Thanks for playing along. You were amazing. This is now 2 for 2 for those scoring at home as far as entertaining game show Fridays. We're either due for a loss or we'll just lose this episode again, which is...
yeah, no guarantees. This gets up on iTunes.
All right, Brian. Thank you so much, man.
Oh, no, thank you. Thanks, Jeff, Greg. Have a great day. Thanks.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it, bud. Good luck in London.
Hey, real quick before we go, and back on Monday, by the way, for more fun and merriment. Oh, by the way,
what's up?
FYI, in case you're wondering, not only will there be reviews of the new Epics quasi 24/7 show on Puck Daddy, but I do plan on pulling audio from the show for the podcast as we did last year.
Oh, good.
And in previous years. Mike Johnston asked flat out if Sidney Crosby had the mumps. This is passed along by Seth Rohrabaugh of Empty Netters. And I quote, we've received yet another email from the anonymous Raw general manager. And I quote, as far as Sid goes, he was checked out by the doctors yesterday, and I believe, as I mentioned, that our whole team has gone through some blood tests just to make sure everyone is taking precautions with the mumps, the scare around the league. So from my perspective, just talking to the doctors, get ready, they didn't mention anything like that. They just said he was cleared to play. So, we didn't rule out the mumps.
You just come out and say what it is.
But we aren't mumpy enough as to not play tonight against Calgary.
We're not mumpy enough.
Sid Crosby.
Just say what it is. It's all everyone's going to talk about.
All right. That's all we really need to say.
Half his face is swollen.
Mm-hmm. Khudobin was also born in Kazakhstan. I did not pull down the goalie part of the menu. That's the only thing I can tell you people. It was a really inventive question. It was a question with good intentions, but perhaps not the greatest execution.
It sounds to me like someone is ready to turn his back on Game Show Friday.
No, I think that I've shown Mr. that this model works at least 15% better than the previous model.
Listen,
it's produced some good shows.
We have bad tech. We have bad voices. We have bad questions.
But they'll never take our freedom! listen, the simple fact that I can continue to do Game Show Friday after the nadir that was the live show is a miracle in and of itself, okay?
Oh, that's true. That was as close as you got to just folding the tent on that on Game Show. I thought I had you that day. Everybody did. We thought you were cooked. That was it.
I thought I was nearly cooked, too. All right, everybody. Thanks for another great week. Back next week for more fun and merriment.
Thanks,
and
Jen Neal.
Thanks to Brian Palmer. Thanks to Jen Neal for being awesome on the show. Obviously, we'll have you back again.
Great.
And
hey,
there you go.
Quick plug tonight. And I think NHL Network stateside is picking it up. I'm not sure, but fingers crossed. Hopefully so. CHL action, Greg. Yes, it's Friday Night Hockey again on Sportsnet. And guess what game I'm doing?
What game
it
is
the host Kitchener Rangers facing off against your favorite OHL team.
The Brandon Wheat Kings?
No, that's the Western Hockey League. Think Ontario. Oh. Jesus.
The Windsor Spitfires?
No. But in the same area. You're close. Geographically, you're close.
Who is it?
The Sarnia.
The Sting.
Yay.
It's Friday. Okay. CHL on Friday.
And here's
gonna
what...
watch Sarnia play the Wheat Kings.
No, not the Wheat. They're playing the Kitchener Rangers. And here's the interesting hook for it. It's going to be a real special moment for Bob McKenzie in this game. Of TSN.
Because his boy is playing?
No. His boy's retired. But he has two sons. One of them works with us. That's Sean. The other is an assistant coach of the Kitchener Rangers. That's Mike.
Assistant coach.
Yeah.
I have no idea how old his kids are. Yeah. I know how old Sean is. He's a youngin'.
Yeah, you've met Sean before. And he works with So Sean is doing ringside for the first time on Sportsnet for junior game. And so at some point in the game, McKenzie will interview McKenzie.
That's so cool.
And I think it may come back and say, yeah, you know what? His dad's an amateur scout.
Party. Yeah. Fun. Looking forward to the Wheat Kings.
No, it's not the Sting and the Rangers tonight. And it's going to be McKenzie on McKenzie tonight. It's going to be Sean interviewing Mike.
Hot McKenzie on McKenzie.
Hot McKenzie action tonight on CHL. All right. Friday Night Hockey.
Thanks,
big
everybody.
Moment for Bob.
And we will talk to you on Monday. Have a great hockey weekend, ladies and gentlemen. Bye. ¶¶